Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, Glories of Devotional Service. This morning we have text number 10. Atta me deva sammoham apakrashtum tvam odasi yo avagraho. There's really the word see is avagraha, but because of Sanskrit rules, the A is not pronounced. It's you do it like one word, yo vagraha aham. But there's actually the three words is ya, avagraha, and then aham. You see that? So when you say it, you have to say avagraha, avagraho, and then aham. Now the next one is complicated too. This is three words, mama, iti, iti. And they all come together, and we have to say, mame, iti, iti. Because the next word begins with the vowel, that last E becomes a Y. But here we have, because we say them separate, we have to say like an E. Etasmin yojitas tvaya atame deva sammoham apakrashtum tam arhasi. Yovagraho hamame titi. Etasmin yojitastaya atame deva sammoham apakrashtum tam arasi. Yo vagraho hamam metiti. Etasmin yojitastaya atame deva sammoham apakrashtum tam arasi. Yo vagraho hamame mame titi. Itasmin yojitastaya. Atame deva sammoham. Apakrashtum tamarasi. Yo vagraho hamame titi. Itasmin yojitastaya. Atame deva sammoham. Apakrashtum tamarasi. Yo vagraho hamame titi. Etasmin yojitastvaya. Atame deva sammoham. Apakrashtum tam arasi. Yo Yovagrahoham amititi.
Etasmin yojitastvaya.
Etasmin yojitastvaya. Atame deva sammoham. Pakrashtum tamurasi. Yovagraho hammamititi. Etasmin yojitastvaya. Now,
may, my,
Deva,
O Lord,
Sammoham,
delusion,
Apakrastum,
to dispel,
to make it go away, Tvam,
you.
Arasi, be pleased. Yaha,
which?
Avagraha,
misconception.
Meaning misconception? Wrong idea. Wrong idea. Aham is the first wrong idea. I. Second wrong idea. Mama. Mine. Iti, thus. Etasmin, in this. Yojitaha, engaged. Translation. Okay, here's, so this is Devahuti speaking to Kapila. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Avagraha, misconception, bewilderment. Oh, no, sammoham, wrong eye, delusion. Yeah, sammoham means you're crazy. Dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The false ego of identifying one's body as oneself and of claiming things possessed in relationship with the body is called maya. In Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, the Lord says, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and from me comes everyone's remembrance and forgetfulness. Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self, an attachment for possessions in relation to the body, are also under the direction of the Lord. Does this mean that the Lord discriminates by engaging one in his devotional service and another in sense gratification? If that were true, it would be an incongruity, a contradiction, on the part of the Lord. Yeah, it's out of place. Something out of place on the part of the Lord. But that is not the actual face. But that is not the actual fact. As soon as the living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servitorship to the Lord and wants instead to enjoy himself by sense gratification, he is captured by Maya. This capture by Maya is the consciousness of false identification with the body and attachment for possessions of the body. These are the activities of Maya. And since Maya is also an agent of the Lord, it is indirectly the action of the Lord. The Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget him and enjoy this material world, he gives him full facility, not directly, but through the agency of his material potency. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly, it is the Lord who gives the facility to forget him. Devahuti therefore says, my engagement in sense gratification is also due to you. Now, kindly get me free from this entanglement. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Krishna says, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, first of all, surrender, and then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activities. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. In this material world, activities for material enjoyment, which are considered to be pious, are also sinful. For example, one sometimes gives something in charity to a needy person with a view to getting back the money four times increased. Giving with the purpose of gaining something is called charity in the mode of passion. Everything done here is done in the modes of material nature, and therefore all activities but service to the Lord are sinful. Because of sinful activities, we become attracted by the illusion of material attachment, and we think, I am this body. I think of the body as myself, and of bodily possessions as mine. Devahuti requested Lord Kapila to free her from that entanglement of false identification and false possession. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutala Ejimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Jnanam Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pacharani Yivishesa Sunyavari Paschachare Sitarani Omangyanam Timurandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militum Jainam Tasmai Sri Garave Namaha Vanchkalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chapatitanam Bhavane Vaishnavayo Namo Namaha. But now she's requesting, she's told him she's disgusted with material existence. She wants to get out of this dark region of ignorance by your mercy. And she's recognized that he is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and can now act as her I to do this. So now she says, ask him to dispel this some moham, bewilderment or delusion. Make it go away. Just as you have a room full of smoke. You can't see anything. And so you open the window and the smoke is dispelled, disappears. Well, she wants this illusion. And what is this illusion? This wrong idea, this misconception, avagraha, aham mama. Which I have been engaged in this misconception, she says, twaya, by you. You have engaged me. You're the one that has given me this wrong idea. So now Prabhupada explains this very carefully. These two things are Maya, the misconception of I and mine. We see also in Bhagavatam, in the second canto, Mamaham Itti. Also the Bhagavad Gita, people in delusion, they think Mamaham, mine and I. Here it says Aham Mama. This means, I am this body. I have the wrong idea of me. I am the body. That's the one part. And mama, and then whatever is in relationship to the body, money, house, car, wife, girlfriend, children, that's mine. So I am the owner and the enjoyer of these things. So both these ideas are characterized, this is the false ego, the wrong idea of myself. So where does this come from? It's Maya. And so then Prabhupada quotes the 15th chapter, I'm sitting in everyone's heart, and from me comes everyone's remembrance and forgetfulness. This is Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chaham vidhi sannivishto mata smitya jnanam apovanam cha. I am in the heart of all the living beings. And mataha, from me, is smitri, remembrance, jnanam, apohanam, knowledge and forgetfulness. In other words, someone who's in Maya and who has forgotten Krishna, the Sanskrit word apohanam means literally pushing away. So if who has forgotten Krishna, or has remembered Krishna. Remembrance means we remember who we are, what Krishna is. It's like waking up from sleep. Oh, here I am. This is I was in a dream. So where does this come from? It comes from Krishna. In other words, it is only by what this says. It is only by Krishna's power that we are able to forget him. And it is only by Krishna's power that we are able to remember him. So then Prabhupada says, so see, Devahuti has said it, I'm doing this because of your power, your Maya. Oh, by the way, one meaning of Maya is simply power. But here is the deluding power of the Lord. So then Prabhupada says, so if here, some Krishna has made some people Krishna conscious and is making some people not Krishna conscious. In fact, sometimes more and more not Krishna conscious. Well, is this right? That's so weird. Doesn't God want everybody to be Krishna conscious? Why is he doing this? No, it's not actually the fact. It's the decision, and he says, so as soon as the living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servant to the Lord. See, this is the real ego. I am the servant of Krishna. I am the servant of Krishna. So somehow, a living entity forgets that or doesn't like that, and wants to instead enjoy himself by sense gratification. In other words, as long as I'm the servant of Krishna, my business is, my pleasure comes from seeing that Krishna is satisfied. But now I want to be the enjoyer. I want to take this, I want to be the same as Krishna. I want to be the enjoyer. And I want to be the controller, too. I want to own things. Like Krishna owns everything. So when that idea is there, he's captured by Maya. This capture by Maya is the consciousness of false identification with the body and attachment to the possessions of the body. Prabhupada also explains Maya as meaning that which is not Maya. In other words, this is what we mean by a delusion. When somebody is deluded or crazy, they see something in the world that isn't there. They have different kinds of delusions. Some people think I'm God, or other people think, like the paranoid, everyone's trying to get me. So many delusions are there. They're just not, it's not happening. But they're convinced. They're hearing voices and they think this voice is God or somebody or whatever, telling them what to do. They're deluded. So we're similar, we become deluded. We see something that isn't there. We think, I am the body. The truth has gone away, and instead we see something false. But with the false thing that we see happens because Krishna disappears. Because of this cloud of delusion, we cannot see Krishna. Krishna has removed himself from our consciousness and put in front of our face this world where there is no God, or God is not so important. So he does this. And so this happens, but because it is a fact that God is everywhere. Prabhupada writes one place, we do not see anything without Krishna seeing it first. We do not hear anything without Krishna's hearing it first. Krishna is inside, Krishna is outside. Everywhere there is Krishna. But now he's vanished. How did this take place? There's Maya. There's an energy of Krishna which causes us to forget Krishna. But that energy that causes us to forget Krishna is also in relationship to Krishna. It makes us see things not in relationship to Krishna, but the energy that does it is in fact Krishna's energy. So it's Krishna's power. So these are the activities of Maya. And since Maya is also an agent of the Lord, agent means somebody who does something for someone else. I have a house to sell. I don't go and find it myself. I hire an agent, a real estate agent. And they take the cash, look at the house. The owner wants this much money. So I'm not doing anything. The agent is doing. But whatever the agent is doing, indirectly, I'm doing. So this is the way Maya works. She's doing these things. Krishna's not doing. But indirectly, he is, because Maya is doing it on his behalf, under his direction, under his order. So Prabhupada is explaining this. So that the activities of Maya are indirectly actions of the Lord. This is the nature of being an agent, working for the sake of somebody else. And then Prabhupada said, the Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget him and enjoy in this world, he gives him full facility. If whatever you want. If you want me, I'll give you me. If you don't want me, I'll be very nice to you. I'll disappear. I'll go away.
This is, he gives them facility through the agent of Maya.
So what Devahuti is saying, so you caused this illusion, now I'm coming back to you, say, please remove it. So Krishna does it because the living entity wants it. This is the meaning of the little freedom that we have. We have choice, little bit of choice. That little bit of choice the living entity has means that there's some things that happen that don't happen because of Krishna. Because Krishna expands himself into living entities, they're part and parcel of him. As Krishna has unlimited freedom, we have little freedom. Now, as it turns out, we are always controlled by Krishna. In that sense, Krishna is all-powerful, because we are always controlled by Krishna. But so our freedom is, how do we want to be controlled? Here Krishna has this one energy called Maya. So this way we're controlled indirectly and unfavorably. Krishna disappears, we think I'm the Supreme, we think there is no God, but indirectly we are being controlled by Krishna at every step. We're under his power. Anytime people try to fight material nature, they lose. She's so powerful, and they lose. Prabhupada describes the living entities in the material world as declaring war on material nature. Because they want to live forever, they don't want to grow old, and they're declaring war on material nature, but they said it's a battle you're going to lose. Good advice for politicians and military people is never get in a war you're going to lose. Well, this is, we should not. This is so we have declared war on material nature. We want to be the enjoyer and controller. We want to take her over, make her do what we want, and we try. But we always, at the end, we surrender to her. At the time of death, that is surrender, ultimate surrender. So in this way, we're under Krishna's control in that way. If voluntarily, like Devahuti is doing now, I want to come back to you, I want to become your servant, then we say to Krishna, what a servant says, a kinkara, what do you want me to do? And I follow the orders of God, but now I do willingly and voluntarily. So then I'm not controlled by the external energy, but I'm controlled by the internal energy, the spiritual energy. One way or another, I'm controlled, voluntarily, favorably, or involuntarily, unfavorably. But the choice is actually mine. Krishna doesn't interfere with that choice. That's why things happen that Krishna doesn't want to happen. He actually doesn't want there to be a material world. He doesn't want souls to be in Maya. He doesn't want so many people to be sent. He doesn't. But still it happens. In fact, it happens because he makes it happen. But he's doing this because of the desires of the living entity. He gives them the facility. So we have to understand this clearly. This explains why people have wondered. So we want to forget Krishna. So how is it possible? Here I have my real identity as a spiritual being. as Satchidananda. But part and parcel of that identity is I am the servant of Krishna. So now I want to be somewhere, someone else. So I need an identity. I need a role. That's not what I am. So just like an actor sometimes puts on a costume and pretends to be somewhere else, this material body is our costume. It's like, but sometimes actors, they wear lots of artificial devices to be, like when Boris Karloff played the Frankenstein monster in the movie, he wore, you know, something like 30 kgs worth of stuff, you know. Or maybe you saw this movie RoboCop or something. Anyway, you get this big machinery called matter. We're spirits. We want to be not spirits, so Krishna has this other stuff called matter, which is the opposite of spirit. And so that this we're put on this costume. That's the first thing, we're put in it. And then we are caused to identify with it. I think I'm who I'm pretending to be. These two things. Throwing, Maya has these two things. Throwing, putting us in the material nature, and covering. We identify with the material body. And then that's our troubles. Our trouble is really there, because then whatever happens to this body, I think is happening to me. And so it's an artificial situation for the spirit soul. Of course, so Prabhupada says, by the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy in this material world. He lets us try to do it. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, because it just doesn't satisfy us, even if everything is wonderful, after a while we get sick of it. And when one sincerely surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. When the living entity, he binds us and he releases. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this energy of mine, daivihi esha gunamayi, that's made of the three modes of material nature, is very hard to cross. Duratyaya, cannot cross over. But one who has surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. Why does that happen? Because you surrender to Krishna. Krishna says to Maya, let him go. Formerly we could never get out because Maya is binding us under Krishna's order. Then Krishna says to Maya, let him go. In fact, Maya starts to work in such a way that instead of separating us from Krishna, she unites us with Krishna. The external energy acts just like the internal energy. In a way, there's no difference between the two. There's one energy. And the same energy can act to unite us with Krishna or to separate us from Krishna. Just like electricity, sometimes it can make things hot. The same electricity can make things cold. It runs the heater, it runs the refrigerator. It's the same electricity, all the same. So, it is Krishna who orders. When the living entity says to him, yes, I want to come back, sincere and seriously, and Krishna does everything. And then Prabhupada cites the Bhagavad Gita, he means 1866, first of all, surrender. And then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activities. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami. So first thing, sarva-dharman purityaja, give up all your other engagements or whatever religion you thought you were doing, or ism or anything, Mam ekam sharanam braja, and take shelter of me and no one else. Mam ekam, me alone, me only. And the implication is probably, I will take charge of you. The other thing that's in this verse is the idea that you, if you, Krishna says, if you surrender to me and you give up all your concocted ideas, I will take charge of your life for you. I will be your manager, your career guy. I'll make all arrangements. I'll take charge of you. Because, and he says, Masuchaha, don't worry. Don't worry. Because we think, oh, if I surrender to Krishna and I stop, and right now I'm so busy taking care of my life, I don't have time for Krishna. But Krishna is saying, no, you just let me take care of it. And then I'll free you up to think of me. You won't have to worry. Because I'll worry for you. I'll take charge of you. This is what the meaning of surrender is. You have to have trust. Sometimes people don't want to surrender because they'll think, oh, what if he does something for me I don't like or I don't want? But surrender means, yes, Krishna, I have tried to run my own life for so long and I've just made a mess of it. You know better than I do what I need and how to make me happy. I have my wrong ideas how to make myself happy. Now you know better. I'll just trust you. Whatever you do, I'll accept this is the best. This is the part of the meaning of surrender, because we may have one idea and it's totally deluded. So Krishna will take us on the right course. So one has to have this trust in Krishna, this full confidence. He will take care of me. That's why we study the Bhagavad Gita, to get this trust in Krishna. I'll take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activity. Aham tam sarva papebhyo. Then Prabhupada says, when Krishna says papebhyo, sinful activities and sinful reaction, then Prabhupada says, this, you should pay attention to this. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. In the material world, activities for material enjoyment, which are considered to be pious, are also sinful. In other words, any material activity, pious or impious, that division, they're all sinful. They're not in relationship with Krishna. This is a higher idea. So Prabhupada has said that in the material world we make a distinction, this is good and this is bad. But he says, actually, from the spiritual perspective, it's all bad. He gives the example that you're walking on the road, you know, in India, there's a lot of cow dung on the road. And so we make a distinction, oh, here's wet dung, here's wet cow dung. And ooh, yeah, just stay away, it's all squishy, step in, it makes a mess, huh? That's bad. But here's dry cow dung, the sun has dried it up, and people, you know, pick it up and they burn it, it's fuel. Oh, dry, this is good, it doesn't smell bad. So there's good stool and there's bad stool, but that's all stool after all, he says. So from the spiritual point of view, there's good and bad, pious and impious, the material world, it's all bad because it's all not in relationship to Krishna. That's what he's saying. So again he says, all activities but service to the Lord are sinful. Are sinful. So this is what Krishna frees us from, those kinds of activities. Now I want to go to a place in the second canto. In the second canto, in the eighth chapter, Maharaj Parikshit is asking questions to Shukadeva Goswami. And in the 8th chapter, he asks this question. The transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire the body accidentally or by some cause? Hetu mean, does it have a cause, or yad vrichchaya, does it sort of happen by chance? Is there any reason that the spirit soul has this material body? This is the question he asks. So then Shukadeva Goswami, in the first verse of the 9th chapter of 2nd Canto, answers the question, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. So that he says there's no relationship between the material body and the pure soul and pure consciousness unless one is influenced by the energy of the Lord. And he gives the example. In a dream, a person is dreaming. So in the dream, I'm lying on my bed in the room, and in my dream, I have a dream body. Now, while the dream is going on, I mean, I'm identified with that body. And say it's some nightmare, and there's this tiger chasing me. You know, I feel fear and terror and everything. I'm going through all this. But actually, I'm asleep in bed. Although in my dream, I'm in so much danger. Really, I'm not. I'm asleep in my bed. Safe, nice, pleasant time. And there's no relationship except for this fact that I've identified with this dream body. If in my dream there's this tiger, and I ask you, how many meters is the tail of the tiger from the foot of the bed? Can you measure? There's no relationship. So he gives this example. Here he says, Prabhupada says, now he comments on this, the spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life, but he's absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. Here in this verse called Atma Maya, the Lord's own energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and the living entities are controlled by the external energy, by the will of the Lord. And again, Prabhupada cites 15:15 here in the second canto. Then Prabhupada goes on a little more deeply into the matter. Now the next question automatically made will be, why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness? Why does he do this? The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. Prabhupada uses this word constitutional, mean that which is your own nature. You're made by this service to Krishna. So Krishna wants us to serve him. That's what he clearly wants. But because the living entity is partially independent also, I've already talked about this, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. The The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they want to become like Him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualifications. Just like some poor guy in the street, I want to be the king. You know. So we're like that. I want to be God. So like that. The living entity desires to become the Lord Himself. When the living entity desires to become the Lord Himself, he's put in a condition of dreaming that he is the king. You can't become the king, but he'll make you dream. We can't become the Lord, but we'll dream like that. Don't you see how in the material world everyone has a God project going to become the greatest? Some people, you know, because we're all dealing with each other, you have all these people, each wants to be God. So I'm the master and you're the servant. No, I'm the master and you're the servant. Oh, we have to fight about it. Who's the master? So we're not all successful, but you can see people, they want more, bigger, 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 more power, more prestige, more fame, more money. You can't be too rich. It's impossible to be too rich. These are all God projects. And Prabhupada pointed out that even if a poor, like simple, downtrodden person with eight masters over him, he has nobody to be the master over, he buys a dog. And sit, stand, roll over. He becomes the master. In some way, everybody tries. So he's put in the desire to be the Lord. You can't do it, so here's the material world. Now you can play out this illusion. So then Prabhupada has this really interesting sentence. He says, therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord. So that's the first thing that happens. And the consequent, after following on that will of the Lord, is that the living entity forget his factual life. And thus dreams of the land of utopia, you know, a place where everything is wonderful, where he may become one like the Lord. Utopia means for Prabhupada an imaginary place, a never, never land. It's not there. And then Prabhupada gives another example. The child cries to have the moon from the mother. The child is sitting there, and there's the moon like a big shining ball in the sky. He wants to play with it. He wants the moon. And the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as a karmi, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord, that is, as a jnani. Again, this, the same God project is there. I become frustrated in my ambition to be the supreme in the material world. Then I want to give it up and take to spiritual life, give up this whole material world. What I want to become God this way. I still have the sinful will is still there. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. And then Prabhupada said, there is no necessity of tracing out the history when the living entity desired this. Of course, people keep trying to figure this out. It's sometimes a controversy in this kind, but anyway. But he says there's no necessity. He says, don't bother with it. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Maya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity in his material condition is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. That's all. So that's Prabhupada's explanation there, the same topic of this false ego and how it develops. And so since if we should understand this, so we can understand that we have to be like Devahuti and sincerely say to the Lord, okay, I'm not God, you are. I am happy that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I accept it, and I accept that I am the servant. I have no quarrel. And because you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all I can say is, what do you want me to do? We say like this to the Lord, then. That's when our spiritual life begins, because then he removes. Hey, you actually want to be my servant? I'll remove all the garbage from your head, and you're free from the control of this illusory energy. That's what the lesson we learned from today's verse. Any questions? Comments?
Now I try to translate. So originally the soul is not jealous and not envy.
Mm-hmm.
So where came from this idea for the soul become envy?
It comes from the soul. It doesn't have to come from anywhere else. The nature of freedom is, when I do something that's an act of free will, let's think about this philosophically for a minute. In philosophy, this is always an issue, is there free will or not? So the people that says no free will, anything I can do, you can find a material, you can find a reason for it. Say I commit a crime, and people say, oh, you committed a crime, and you must be punished. Punishment means that you had some freedom, you could have chosen not to commit the crime, but you committed it. That's because of your freedom. But then other people say, actually, yes, you committed the crime, but you had no, really, your past made you do it. Because you were brought up in a bad way, you were deprived, you didn't have proper care, you were impoverished, and so many things by your social and psychological conditions. You had to do it. No freedom. So whenever you can give a cause for everything, that means no freedom. But if there's freedom, it means I'm going to do something, and no matter what my past is, no what the material conditions, actually, you can't tell. There's a chance I may do something else. That's my freedom. It comes from me. It doesn't come from the outside. It comes from me. So when you say freedom, it just refers to the living entity. To that idea of some event taking place in the world that has no cause, that is, you just refer to the living entity. And what caused the death? No, it's the living entity. He starts it. It has no cause. To a material science, this looks like absolute chance. Something happens with no cause. They believe that sometimes. Now, they need it in the material world. Chance is there, absolute chance. But the only way that really makes sense to us is with the idea of a free will. I think that when the physicists, they see chance taking place, absolute chance, it means God is making a decision or some living entity is making a decision. Things happen and they can't find it. There's no reason whatsoever for it to happen. Otherwise, everything has a cause. But this, what we say free will, it means you say, yes, the living entity caused it. Well, what caused him to do it? No, his freedom. His freedom. That's my understanding of the nature of freedom.
So even we are in the spiritual world, but why, so it's built in this question, why it's happened with us?
Yeah, well, Prabhupada, that's why Prabhupada says there's no need to to trace out the history, because people always will wonder about this. But some people say, well, we really weren't in the spiritual world because if we were there, we couldn't have chosen to do it. But no, we simply always have freedom. The possibility is simply there. So Prabhupada's clear understanding that he says in Bhagavatam many places, number of places, that we were with Krishna somewhere in the spiritual world. We had a relationship and we broke it. We broke it. Because when Prabhupada was with us, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers was telling the devotees, he had the same problem with us. He said, we fell from the Brahma Jyoti. We were in the Brahma Jyoti and we fell from the Brahma Jyoti. And Prabhupada denied it. He said, fallen means to fall from an unfallen condition, and the Brahma Jyoti is already fallen. And so he finally wrote a paper about this. He said, we never had any occasion when we were separated from Krishna. And then he gives the same example. We created different forms in a dream, but as soon as the dream is over, what I thought I was disappears. But the seer, the dreamer, remains. He's now awake. Now he's in his original position. Our separation from Krishna is like that. So see, in one sense, we are always with Krishna. Just like when I'm asleep dreaming, I'm still in my room. So we are in the spiritual world. We are with Krishna, in one sense. We never leave. But we just, have this dream, which from a spiritual point of view must be quicker than anything. Our whole material existence of billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of births, we go and we come back, in the spiritual world, how long were we gone for? You can't even measure it, it's so small. It's almost like it didn't happen. So Prabhupada says, first the attachment comes to enjoy sense gratification, and then he says, even when we are with Krishna, the desire for sense gratification is there. It's just a potential, it's a possibility for the soul because of his freedom. There is a dormant attitude of forgetting Krishna. Dormant means asleep. It's not active, but still it's there. And creating an atmosphere for enjoying independently. At the edge of the beach, sometimes the water covers the sand on the shore, and sometimes there's dry sand. The ocean is coming and going. Our position is like that, sometimes covered, sometimes free. This is Tathasta Shakti, the living entity, in the border. Tathasta, sitting on the bank of a river or a stream is the Tata. So we're there, sometimes underwater, sometimes dry land. As soon as we forget, immediately illusion is there, just as when we sleep, a dream is there. We cannot say, therefore, that we are not with Krishna. See? We are always with Krishna. As soon as we try to become the Lord, immediately we are covered by Maya. Formerly, we were with Krishna in his lila or sport. This Prabhupada says this quite clearly. But this covering of Maya may be a very, very, very long duration. Many creations are coming and going. So due to this long period of time, from our point of view, it is sometimes said that we are ever conditioned. See, people take this term nitya bhadda, perpetually conditioned. But this long duration of time becomes very insignificant when one actually comes to Krishna consciousness. It is like a dream. We are thinking it is very long time, like you're dreaming. You're having this big long dream, you wake up and you look and watch, only a minute's passed. So the same, what I was saying. To give another example, Krishna's friends were kept asleep for 1 year by Brahma, but when they woke up and Krishna returned before them, they considered only a moment's past. Anyway, so that's... Then Prabhupada gives an example of arguing about this. On the top of a tree, there was a nice tall fruit. A tall is a kind of a palm tree. It's the Palmyra palm. They have these branches. They go out like sort of knives spread out. It's a tall tree. On the top of a T-A-L, with a long A, T-A-A-L, tall, the tall palm. On the top of a tree, there was a nice tall fruit. A crow landed there, and the fruit fell down. You know, in Vrindavan, Talavan, the forest Talavan, where the Denukasura was, it's the same. A crow went there, landed on the branch, the fruit fell down, this palm tree. Some pundits, big learned scholars, saw this and they discussed. The fruit fell due to the crows agitating the limb, one says. Another says, no, the fruit fell simultaneously with the crow landing and frightened the crow, so he flew away. No, the fruit was ripe and the weight of the crow landing broke it from the branch. And so on and so on and so on. You know, this is the exact, you can go on arguing forever and you'll never be able to come to a conclusion. Which, did the crow landing make the fruit fall, or did the crow, the fruit falling make a crow fly up? You know, what is it? So he says, so what is the use of this discussion? Whether you are in Brahma Sayuja, merged with Brahma, in Brahmana, with Krishna's Leela, at the moment you are in neither, so the best policy is to develop your Krishna consciousness and go there back to Godhead. Never mind, what is your origin? So that's his... anyway, this is a long letter, but anyway, Prabhupada talked about this. He gave his opinion, his judgment on this matter. So there's some controversy, always has been. This is his decision. I think it's important because Prabhupada's understanding stresses the fact that we turned away from, because we are responsible for turning away from Krishna. It's our job to turn back to him. And ask him to restore us to our original position. Okay? Anything else? Yeah?
Recently I was listening to some devotees. They are discussing about suicide. And then it came out that they know about 5 cases.
Of cases of what?
Suicide.
Suicide.
In America, India, and other places.
Of devotees.
Yeah. So they said, actually, we don't understand how is it possible. But maybe it also can be connected with this free will.
Yeah, sure.
Some confusion.
Yeah.
How they came in such states from mind?
Oh, I don't know. Is it
typical like all other people around?
Yeah, I don't know.
Some disconnection with Krishna.
Yeah, I think so.
The laws are there.
It seemed like they, and I don't know the cases. I can imagine that somebody loses contact with Krishna consciousness, goes into the material world and does some very bad things, and then he thinks, oh, I'll never go back. I'll never go back, and is in such despair and hates himself so much. You really have to forget Krishna consciousness, because of course suicide does not help you at all. You just take birth as a ghost because of that. And those people are not lost forever. They'll come back, but that may be in some cases, it may be like that. Yeah. No, actually I know. I knew a devotee in my temple. He committed suicide. And it was like that, actually. a godbrother of mine came in my temple and got married, moved outside, fell very deeply into Maya, but at the same time wanted to be a devotee. I remember this. At that time, in this very early days, almost no one was living outside the temple. So he was living outside the temple. And he got involved, and we were not very kind to him because we just didn't know how to deal with this person, because he had a little kind of a hippie shop, and he was always sitting behind chanting japa. But he was selling all marijuana on the side, making money. People would get these little stores there. Their money's really coming from marijuana, but they claim to the government that I made it in the store, so this way. Can't trace the income. So he was doing like that, dealing drugs. And then he would keep in his house these Tulsi Devis and worship them and take care of them. They actually were quite nice Tulsis. But at the same time, he would have people over, friends of his, and they would all smoke marijuana and chant Hare Krishna. So he was, you know, very strongly into sense gratification, and then he was also really wanted to be a devotee, and he was just like so he committed suicide, and his wife said he was a divided person. He was a divided person like that. But that's one case I do know of, actually. What happened with him? His name was Mangal Maya. From Prabhupada disciple. Yeah.
When he gets caused by accident or suicide, or maybe by killing, these are natural deaths or?
I'm sorry, death caused by accident?
Accident or suicide, or maybe if somebody is killing to someone. So these are.
Many of it is just karma, you know. Sometimes you're in an accident and killed in an accident because that time has come for some reason or another. Mm-hmm. Some disaster.
Suicide also?
Suicide, usually you make you're the one that decides to do it. It's not an accident. Maybe some people accidentally commit suicide. They because they think, like a lot of people, they don't really. Sometimes in San Francisco there's this big bridge that people jump off of to commit suicide, and other places bridges. So some people don't die, and those people that lived somehow or other after falling on a height into the water, they all said halfway down they changed their minds. So it's just so sad, isn't it? All those people. Ooh, I used too late, you know. So and also some people, you know, they do something to kind of dramatize their situation. They want some attention or something, so they will put their head in the oven and everything, and they'll think somebody's there's a famous poet, woman who was committed suicide, an American poet. And she thought her husband was coming home in 15 minutes, so she turned on the gas and put her head in the oven. But somehow or other something happened. He wasn't home for an hour, so she died. You know. Something like that. People think that's what happened. So sometimes it turns out to be an accident, too, even though it looks like suicide. So these accidents, those do have a cause. They're karmically... cost. Well, we should stop now. I have to get packed. I'm leaving for Heidelberg. Thank you very much.
What is your message for us? Since you're leaving today?
Oh, yeah, a simple message. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
You try to help this temple too, huh?
Huh?
You try to help this temple. We're, you see, we are like